Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. I'm so excited that we have taken a journey, and I went back and I researched and I realized that we start doing the Old Testament books on January the 4th. And now it's the end of September. So we had this journey in the Old Testament for 9 months. And I thank God because most of you have taken this journey with me. And we have did a little tip in each book in the Old Testament. It was my desire and is my desire that each and every one of you would have heard something, seen something as you read or studied that made you investigate even more. I let you know all the time, I can only give you information, but it's the Holy Ghost that give revelation and illumination. I know for a fact that God is pleased with each and every one of you because you take the time out your busy schedule. We meet on Wednesday. We explore the Word of God together. And that's called faithfulness. It's also a sign of commitment. So tonight we in the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last writings of the prophets. You know, Malachi was a minor prophet. And tonight is the last book of the prophets. We remember that there were 17. 5 was major and 12 was minor. And tonight we're in the book of Malachi, and we're going to study the 3rd chapter. For those who have read the book, I say thank God for your faithfulness. Those who haven't read it, after we do this lesson, you could go back and read it. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and play a song. Then I'll come back and we'll explore the Word of God together. The title of this lesson is God is Reiterating His Love for the Israelites, for Judah and for Israel, which makes up the 12 tribes of Israel. And I say God is reiterating because everything that we'll see tonight is nothing we never heard, because the people still do what they want to do. And because of God's faithfulness, he's always there with a sign of hope. So I'm going to play this song, and the name of the song is We Come This Far By Faith. And it was oftentimes that I wondered, how could the people in the Old Testament be saved if we are taught that you are saved by grace, by faith, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? And we all know that Jesus Christ had not yet come. But if you look between those pages, you will realize that everyone who receives salvation and be saved and be set apart for God, we all have to come the same way, by faith. So those people, you know, Abraham, like God told Abraham, you know, Abraham didn't have, you know, accepted the Messiah because he hadn't come. But he believed God that he would send one. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted it as righteousness, and that righteousness guaranteed and delivered him grace. So Abraham was under grace even though God hadn't come. So you keep that in mind. And I'm going to play this record because just as well as all of the people in the Old Testament was waiting for the Messiah to come, we are now waiting for him to return. The book of Revelation was Jesus Christ reiterating all that the 66 books had said. And tonight, Malachi is bringing a message from God as he reiterates his love for his people. So I'm going to play this song, and when we come back, we're going to go straight into the lesson. If you have your Bibles, great. You need your Bible, get them. And we're going to come back and explore the Word of God together. Listen to the music and be blessed.
Thank you.
we come this far by faith. If every one of you would just look back over your life and really think things over, you know, it is by faith that we made it thus far, not by our strength, not by our power, not by our might, but it's the grace of God that carries us over. It's the grace of God that has helped us from danger seen and unseen. It is God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that has made a difference in our lives. And because of that, we should say thank you. And we should praise his name because he's worthy. At this time, we have to go to the throne of grace. If there's anyone out there who would like to open us up with prayer, you could press the one button on your phone. And last week, a lot of people said they was pressing the button, but I couldn't prompt it because there was a problem in the studio. But those who wanted to say something will have time. But right now, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button, and I'll open the mic. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have allowed us to assemble ourselves together to explore your word. Lord, I pray that the word don't return void, and I pray that you meet the needs of everyone that's calling in, listening on the internet, dear God, or even hear the word from someone else, dear God. Bless, because I know you're in a blessing business. Heavenly Father, help us to realize that the race is not given to the swift, but to those who endure until the end. Lord, we thank you for the journey you have allowed us to go in the Old Testament, dear God, because we realize that you were talking through your prophets and your people to the people. And now we thank you for your son, Jesus, that we have him living inside of us. Lord, we thank you because you're such a faithful God. Lord, when we was in the Old Testament, we seen over and over and over the disobedience of the people, and we saw over and over and over your love for them. For that we say thank you, dear God. That painted us a beautiful picture of who you are. So right now, dear God, I want to thank you for what you did. I thank you for what you're doing right now. And I thank you for what you're going to do in all of our lives. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace, your son and your spirit. Thank you for the holy word, our daily instructions for our daily living. Allow your Holy Ghost to continue to guide and lead us, mold and shape us into the intended purpose that you have for us. Because that's where our success lies. And Lord, teach us every day that only what we do for Christ will last. All these blessings and others I ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Well, it's time to explore the word. And as always, I give some background. We in the book of Malachi. As I stated earlier, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And God is about to fulfill the prophecies and promises established throughout the Old Testament. You know, if God said it, he's going to deliver it. God doesn't change and he don't take back what he said. You see, the promise of the Messiah, it's all in and through the Old Testament. As soon as God realized, not realized because he always knew, but soon as sin and man's shortcoming came into play, God put a master plan in place for us to be able to receive salvation, a plan for someone to do for us, for someone, Jesus Christ, to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And all throughout the pages, he wanted to keep them abreast. You know, I ain't forgot. Yeah, y'all having hard times, trials and tribulations, but I ain't forgot. Yes, y'all may be going through things. He said, but I ain't forgot. And yet God had to allow his judgment to be placed on them over and over again, because God cannot allow sin to go unpunished. God said, but I got you. I never leave you and no forsake you. These are the same words that God is talking and telling us each and every day of our lives. You got to trust him. You see, in the book of Malachi, in the first chapter and the second chapter, the people were doing just like they was doing from the beginning, doing what they thought they was big and bad enough to do, doing what they wanted to do, disobeying God and doing things that wasn't pleasing to him, just like it's going on today. Because you see, there's nothing new under the sun. You see, in those chapters, that man, and not just man, but even the priest, disobeyed God on every side. And then they had the audacity to question his command. God told them they would be punished. But he would even take care of the one that he allowed to punish them, because their punishment became too harsh. God said, when you return to me, I will return to you. With the book of Malachi, the Old Testament ends, and God became silent towards the people. That period between the Old Testament and the New Testament is called the silent period. And that distance, once Malachi ended, the distance between the New Testament, which begins with the gospel, was 400 years. You see, God's purpose for bringing this specific prophecy through Malachi in his day was probably because Israel complained that the Messianic promise. You see, we just did Zechariah last week, and a week before that, we did Haggai. And you see, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi was three of the last three books, and he was reiterating his love and reiterating that the Messiah is going to come. The Savior is going to come. But you see what happened. The people believed that it wasn't going to happen because they didn't see it in their time. You know, the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. So the people got lackadaisical, like, yeah. You know, you keep saying, you know, like when a parent might tell a child, I'm going to fix you for that, and they always say the same thing over and over but never do it, and the child begin to don't take it with a grain of sand because they done heard it so much. So the people began to feel that way, and part of that was creating the attitudes and things that they was having towards the things of God. You see, but Malachi shows that the way for the Messiah must be prepared, and they hadn't been prepared yet, and the messengers haven't came yet. But he's saying, hold on, they coming. You see, Malachi wrote the word of the Lord to God's chosen people who had gone astray. And it talks about the priests who had turned from God. You see, the priest was not treating the sacrifice they were to make to God seriously. You know, animals with blemishes were being sacrificed. And even though the law demand animals without defects, they was just doing it any kind of way, giving it to God any kind of way. And besides that, they expected expected him to accept what they're doing. You can't do God any kind of way and then have the audacity to want him to accept it. I come to tell you tonight, we are not afforded the privilege. You see, the men of Judah was dealing with the wives of their youth. You know, all of them had been married young. You know, that's how they did it back then. And, you know, they was handling them treacherously. They was treating their wives any kind of way and getting divorces for no reason just because they wanted somebody else. And yet they was wondering why God would not accept their sacrifices. You see, and then he talks about the people were not tithing as they should have been. But in spite of the people's sin and turning away from God, Malachi reiterates God's love for his people and his promises of the coming messengers. And we're going to go into the lesson tonight. I'm going to read the third chapter, the first verse. And it reads, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come into his temple." See, Malachi is telling them everything that had already been said, but he's telling them again, because God fixing to get silent. So God trying to give them something to make them say, and let's just think about this and maybe hold on to the confession of their faith and trust God and wait on it. He says, "Shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." God told Malachi, go tell him this. Like, I ain't forgot. And I'm going to fulfill my promises. But hold on. Our timetable is not God's timetable. But trusting God is saying that he knows what's best. And you just as well let God have his way, because he's going to have it anyway. If you learn to lean and trust on God more, the things that goes on in your life won't rattle you so much. It won't take you down as much. Because, you know, when you get so rattled and you get taken down, it doesn't change anything. It's never what we go through, it's who we go through it with. You see, this scripture talks about two messengers. The first is John the Baptist, who has been given the assignment to prepare the way for Jesus. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin and 6 months older than Jesus. Y'all know when Mary went to Elizabeth's house, John the Baptist leaped in her stomach. And Mary said, and Elizabeth told Mary, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." So the Catholic people didn't make that up. It's in the Bible, y'all. Remember, the Old Testament ended. And for over 40 years, there was no divine spokesman or prophets, and the people's heart waxed cold. You got to realize in this 400 years, God was silent. Every prophet ever came up and said they sent by God was proven to be a false prophet. The people's hearts had waxed cold, and they began to do things as they want to do, and it wasn't look. The priest was crooked. The prophets was false. People were doing what they wanted. Now, God is going to, at the end of this 400-year period, he was going to send his son. But God said, before I send my son, I'm going to send a messenger to go before him, and he could help prepare the hearts and the mind of the people to be able to receive the Messiah. So that was John the Baptist's mission. and he did it well. And that's what God is saying in Malachi, which you know is not going to even happen until 400 years later. Come on, y'all. And then it's going to be a new covenant, the New Testament. But God is letting them know. You know, God is letting us know certain things in our life too, but we can't see it. We can't comprehend it. But it's not that he's not saying it. You see, and the second messenger is Jesus, the Messiah of the covenant. That's what the scripture said, I will send you the messenger of the covenant. That's Jesus, the messenger to prepare the way. That's John the Baptist. The messenger, the Messiah of the covenant, for whom both Malachi and John the Baptist is trying to prepare the way. You see, Jesus became the authentic one and once and for all perfect sacrifice, which will fulfill the law that we are now under grace. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the law, but I came to fulfill it. You see, Jesus paid the price for our sins, which was too big for us to pay, a debt he didn't owe. Jesus even took the sting out of debt. And I want you to know tonight that grace that was abound towards us and grace that is abound around us and the grace of God that is in us is God's riches at Christ's expense. And if we look at the second verse through the fourth, and it reads, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? God is saying, who's going to be right when Jesus come back? Who's going to be able to take it? He's saying, will you be ready when Jesus come back? They said, and this is a scripture, for he is like a refiner fire and like full of soap. And he shall set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Levi was the priesthood that had gone crazy. And he said, when he come, he's going to purify these priests. He said, and purge them as gold and silver that they may offer unto the Lord an offering, in righteousness. And the fourth verse said, then shall the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto God as in the days of old. And in former years. God said, I got to get it right. No, God said, they had to get it right. You see, in the process, if you know about the process of refining metal, the raw metal is heated with fire until it melts. You see, and then the impurities separate from the real. The fake separate from the real. Come on, y'all, watch this. And it rise to the surface. You see, then what happened, it is skimmed off, and it only leave the pure metal. You see, God is constantly working in and through us, molding and shaping us into his intended purpose. And he talked about the filler soap was used. That soap was soap that they used to whiten clothes back then. Look how God used the words, and that's why studying is so important. You know, you might have read that and didn't see the connection, but you got to think and meditate, and you got to ask God and sit down and let God tell you. You see, the full of soap was used to whiten clothes. You see, Isaiah 1:18 says, come, let us reason together, and I'm sorry, Isaiah 1:18, for those who are writing. Isaiah 1:18 says, Come, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, scarlet is the color red, they shall be as white as snow. He's saying, you know, Jesus is going to take away your sins and that dirty heart you had and that dirty, you know, attitude you had and, you know, the dirty mouth you had. And, you know, God is going to wash us with this full of soap. It says it in the scripture. And we shall become white as snow. And the scripture goes on to say, though we are red as crimson, we shall become like wool. Now, when they say it like wool, they're not talking about the texture of wool. Wool is white. So he used that word to emphasize that. And when you meditate and you study, you see it. You see, God is saying when Jesus comes, he will be working on the hearts and the minds of the people so that we offer unto him things that are pleasant. Stop mixing stuff up. Stop getting in your mind what is necessary for God and what is not necessary for God. Some people say, you know, you do all of that and you do all of that. All of that is not necessary. First of all, anything we could do is very necessary, and we could never achieve all that we need to do. So what you know to do, you do it and do it well. And as God teach you, you begin to hold on and do other things. And if we live 1,000 years, we still would not have reached a plateau of pure righteousness. That's why God said, once you accept his son, he extends his righteousness to you. Because yours is like filthy dish rags. So don't ever get it twisted. Don't sit down and try to say what's necessary and not. Go to the Word of God and ask God to teach you. You see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. But when Jesus come back, he will live inside of his people. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And now I'm going to read the 5th through the 8th verse. And it says, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the scoffers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hiring in his wage. He's talking about people who have workers and they're doing injustice to them. He say the who oppose the hiring in his wages, cheating the people. Don't want to pay them an honest day pay for honest day work. He said the widows and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his rights. Who are strangers? We have strangers now where they're trying to, you know, close the borders. See, they're not American, so they would be strangers in our land. God said, I'm going to watch how you handle them. He said, the strangers from his rights. And fear me not, said the Lord of the hosts. God said that he was going to be a swift witness. He knows what we do. So, you see, we're not going to be able to get up there and say, God, no, I didn't. God already know. That's why he said he could be a swift witness. So don't ever think you're going to be able to say what you didn't do or that you could fool or cite God. And the 6th verse say, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What he's saying, I'm God. I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why he said Jacob there. that I would do what I would do, and I would give them the promised land, and they would live in freedom, and I would send a Messiah, and he would be their Savior, and they could have eternal life with me. He said, I'm God, I do not change, therefore the sons of Jacob are never consumed. So even when he allowed the Babylonians and Assyrians and the Romans to come and take them over, and yes, they did stay in Babylonia 70 years, and they was captive in Assyrian, God allowed it for so long. God even set it up. But when he got ready, he turned it around. He's saying, because I got them, because I made a promise. You see, in 7 say, even from the days of your father. He's saying, I keep turning it around, and I made a promise. I will not change. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But then 7, look what he tell him. Even from the days of your father, you are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. He tell him, I'm doing this. He said, but, you know, it's because I made a promise. It's not that you're doing so good that I'm going to straighten you out. And, you know, when we were doing some things in our lives and God had mercy on us, it wasn't that we had repented and we stopped doing it and we're not doing it no more. But you see, that's the grace of God. He said, I'm not going to consume you, but we all know that your consequences for your actions belong to you. He said, but just do this. He said, return unto me. Second part of the 7th verse. And I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. And then they got smart again. Because right here they say, but ye say, God telling them this, but. Ye say, God is saying, but this is what you said. Wherein shall we return? And then 8, God say, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say it. Now it's the people talking again. Wherein have we robbed thee? And then God answered, in tithes and in offerings. You see, God's patience seems endless. Throughout history, his people have disobeyed, even scorned his laws. But he has always been willing to accept them back. Always a message of hope. Thank you, Jesus. God is saying, I saw how you treated others. Cheating, false witness, and all kind of things. He said, y'all don't even have no compassion for the widows, the fatherless, and you cheating strangers of their rights. He said, and I'm coming with judgment. But he said, if you return to me, I will return to you. However, the people had the audacity that they could stand up to God. The audacity. You know, God is going to fulfill his promises. Each and every one of them. You could believe that. God said, but you have robbed me. Those who have, you know, tithes is a very touchy subject. But this is the word of God. God said they have robbed him, and against their acts, wherein as we robbed thee. Smart. God said in tithes and offering. And I know plenty of times the preachers go, you know, overboard with it. And sometimes they even take it out of context. But when we look in the book of Malachi tonight, God said, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. And if I read verse 9 right now, all the way to verse 15, and it reads, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you a window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. 11 said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Do you want God to rebuke the devourer for your sake, or do you know what that means? He goes on to tell you right after that what it means. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall the vine cast her fruits before its time, said the Lord of hosts. And that's almost like the thing I've been saying so much, and I love to say, and I'm going to say it right here. What he's saying, you know, you do that, and I'm going to pull you out blessings, you won't have a room enough. But he's saying, take care of my business, and I'm going to take care of yours. He gave him an example of the fruit in the ground, and then the vines cast up fruit before its time. He said, you know, you're going to have a good crop. Come on, y'all. You know, whatever you put your hands in, you know, I'm a help you and I'm a protect you with it. That's rebuking the devourer, because God is in control. And he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So he said, and I'll pull you out blessings, you won't have room enough to receive them. Come on, y'all. And he says in another scripture somewhere, he said, try me. He said, and then if we go to 12, they say, and all nations shall call you blessed. And he's saying, if you take care, you know that, he said, people are going to see you as a blessed person. And ye shall be delightsome. Ye shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. And 13, your words have been shout against me, said the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? God saying, you ain't saying nothing good about me. And then you're talking about me wrong, you know. And they saying, what we said against you? And then 14, he answered. He said, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit it is that we have kept his ordinance. What did we gain from it? They said, and we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And 15, and now we call the proud happy. Ye, they that work wickedness are set up. Ye, they that tempt God are even delivered. What he's saying? He said, you know, we kept waiting and praying and waiting, and we was faithful, and we try to do everything you say, Lord. They said, but we ain't get nowhere with it. And then when they talked about even the wicked is proud and happy, you know, that's like all of the people even in the world today that doing things that are not right and not righteous at all, and yet they seem to be getting somewhere. But they're not. Because only what you do for Christ going to last. And everything we could gain or do or achieve here on this side, it's all temporal. I don't even have to tell you the story. You know, when somebody died, the you know, they don't have the Wells Fargo truck behind them. So there's no guessing in that. You know, when you die, you don't take nothing with you. And then I guess for this scripture, the Holy Ghost just gave me this to throw in for y'all. He said, what is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, this scripture is talking about tithe, which is touchy. It's a touchy subject for people. But I want you to know, first of all, the word tithe is a word that only describes a measurement, meaning a tenth. You know, like we say yards, inches, cubic feet, and stuff like that. In those days when they say tithe, it meant the tenth. And you see, tithes was used in the Old Testament, and presently now, as a minimum, not the maximum, a minimum amount of giving back to the Lord from your earnings. In the Old Testament, God commanded the people to give a tithe of their income to his temple, to the storehouse. God said, "Give it, and it shall be given unto you." You see, the storehouse was a place in the temple for storing grain and other foods given as tithe. You see, the priests lived off the tithes. Come on, y'all. The priests couldn't have a job. They didn't own land. God said he was going to take care of his priests. So God asked something of each and every one of us to fulfill that promise. And you see, they would take the food they made and things like that. They got the priests got the meat from the sacrifices. And this was other things like grain and food and you know, stuff to make bread and so on and so on and so on. Not only did it take care of priests, but you see, if you had a widow, if they had a woman and her husband died, she couldn't inherit nothing that he had. And now, if the, you know, it's a possibility that she's old and can't provide for herself. So the widow would be able to go to the storehouse and eat too. And then they had the orphans, you know, sometimes children, mother and father was dead and no one took them in and they became orphans. And they needed to eat too. So some people may come up with that, you know, God asks us to do it and bring it into the storehouse, but we don't have storehouses now. But you see, when Jerusalem was built, they had walls around them, and all of the people who was in Israel lived behind the wall, and all of the people in Jerusalem lived behind the gates, and they all lived there and as a community, and they wanted to have, just like we have the Harvest Food Bank, that's how they would go to, like, the pantry or the storehouse, and they would get their needs met. That's when it was done. Some people say, they say they bring it to the storehouse, and we don't have a storehouse. But I want you to know, today we bring our local church our tithes for expenses and use for kingdom building. Kingdom building. First of all, we are responsible to have a place for the sick. I'm talking about the spiritual sick. Jesus said, "I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick." You know, we have the church building where we go and God ordained for us to fellowship one with another. We're in 2017 and we have very hot days, and when you go in that church, you want that air conditioner on. Public service don't give the church, even though they may be a non-profit organization, free lights or discounts. I'm not coming to you tonight to tell you what you should do. I'm only telling you what the Word of God says. And everybody going to take and deal with it the way they want to do it. But I come to tell you tonight that we are not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go, to change what the Word of God says. Some people even tell me sometimes, "Well, Sister Diane, I don't like what they do with the money at the church, so I send my tithes to the United Way." God said, wherever you've been fed spiritually and you belong, that's where you tithe. And I'm going to get off of this, 10% is 10 cents on a dollar. A lot of times people with low incomes or once-a-month incomes, you know, we know everything is high. We know that, you know, sometimes it may not, you know, things come up and you don't have enough money. You know, God understands everything, but you can't decide on, you know, you might not agree with the 10th, but whatever you agree with, you be faithful in it. Some people don't believe in a tenth of a tithe. And let's just say you believed in 5%. I'm just being hypothetical. But do you always bring in the 5% commitment? And you see, we see that God is patient with us, but he also told us what would happen when we don't be fair with him. And since plenty of people say tithes is for the Old Testament, I could tell you that when Jesus was asked about giving, Jesus said, every man should give as he purposed in his heart. He also said that it doesn't make sense for you to give anything grudgingly, in a sense. He said, because it's just not going to count, because God looks at not just what you gave, but the attitude in which you give it in. So we all should be able to agree. If you can't agree with the tithing, or you don't, you know, have your differences about it, it's okay. But we all can maybe agree that we have to support our local church. And we have to support the things of God. And we have to have a place for the sick. That's our duty. And that's our reasonable service. God said, I will open up the windows of heaven. I know nobody want to throw that out. He's saying, pull you out a blessing, you won't have room enough to see, receive it. And let me tell you this, if you got 5 pair of shoes in your closet, you can only wear 1 pair. It's by God's grace. So many people have 2 and 3 cars. Some people have a house they live in, another house somewhere, and they have rental houses. You can only live in one. That's blessings. You can't have room enough to receive it. He said, prove me. Try me. So I suggest that each and every one of us, I didn't say you, I say each and every one of us, take time and have a talk with God and ask him about giving. And I want to let y'all know, giving is a gift. And they got some people really blessed with the giving, the gift of giving. Everybody ain't going to give the same. They never, ever will. But you have to make a conscious decision what you believe and maybe heard from God, what he wants you to do with what he has given you. We could start off with all of us are only stewards. Everything we own belongs to God. God, a steward is someone who take care of something till someone come back again. Who is coming back? Jesus. Who gave us everything? Jesus. And he's going to want to know what you did with it. He gave us the parable of the talents. That's talking about when Jesus come back and he asked each steward what they had done with the money. It's real. Now we're going to verse 16, 17, and 18. And it reads, and they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's the people who was trusting and loving on God. And they talked about God. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. He was saying, you know, they got some of y'all, some of them, even with all of this mess, that is, you know, trying to spread the word of God, and you talk to one another about the goodness of God. Come on, y'all. And God say, I hear it, and I've got a book, and I'm putting it in a book of remembrance, and for them that fear me, I put your name in it. And 17 say, and there shall be mine. God say, if you do these things, you shall be mine, say the Lord of hosts. So what did it? It's necessary to share the word of God. He said, because if you do it, it's right here in the scripture, 17. They shall be mine. And in the day I will make up my jewels, I will make up my jewels. He's saying, I'm coming back for you. You precious to me. A jewel is something precious. and I will spare them as a man spared his own son that served him. He's saying if a man could look out for his earthly son because his son served him, and he could, you know, do good things for his son. He said, what more you think I'm willing to do? And I'm the heavenly Father, and it's all mine. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. Come on, y'all. He said, I could do it much better than that. Or do you believe that I can? And then they say, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that has served God and then him that served him not. You see, when they talk about the scroll of remembrance here, it may not be the actual book of life. But the point is that God will remember those who remain faithful to him and share the word of God with one another, who love, fear, honor, and respect him. God said, I'm going to put it in a book of remembrance. And that's why they say only what you do for Christ will last. And Jesus said, when I come back, everybody's going to receive their rewards. You're not going to be judged on your sins. You're going to be judged on your faithfulness, your deeds. Come on, y'all. God is going to remember what you've done for him. Because that's the only thing that's going to last. God say that those who do what God said, that those who do these things is my precious jewels, and I will spare them. You see, the faithful is God's treasured possession. Come on, y'all. Are you a treasured possession of God? God will judge and he will discern between righteous and wicked and who served him and who served him not. And as I close tonight with Malachi and close in the Old Testament and waiting for the bringing the new, we must be about God's business. Judgment is coming. With everything that is going on in the world today, people are going about their business as if there's only the here and now. We have wars and rumors of war, earthquakes, floods, tornadoes. You just name it, we got it back to back. Floods, and people are dying and they're hungry and they don't have enough. You know, this world can be compared to the people of Noah's days. It had gotten so bad that God decided to destroy it. But you know, God uses this. Jesus says this and used this too many times when he looked down at the way we are acting. He said in Matthew 24:37-39, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, when we know Jesus is coming back, we don't know if it's tomorrow. We can all attest that we're living in the last days. But do we act like it? He said, for as in the day that were before the flood, and Noah had preached and asked them to get it right for years, but they were still... This is the after scripture. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And the scripture says, so shall also the coming of the Son. It's going to be just like that. You got to be ready. You got to do what God asks us to do while we wait so your name could get in a book of remembrance. Hallelujah. It should be our goal to please him at all costs. If we are truly one of his, you can rest assured he got you. You got to learn to rest in what God has done and doing and has promised to do for his people. God is saying for the last time before his 400 years of silence, my people continue to disobey me, and I will continue to love them, and I will not console them. I made a promise to your forefathers, and it shall come to pass. My promise of a Messiah, a Savior, and the Prince of Peace. He is coming back for his people. And that's the end of the lesson tonight. We close the book of Malachi with that on tonight. I pray that, you know, we've seen over and over how the people messed up and God, you know, still was loving on them. But that's how God is with us. We are no better than those people back there. You know, a lot of people tell me all the time, Sister Diane, if I'd have saw the Red Sea parted, I'd have been doing right forever. But you done saw a lot of miracles. You done had a lot of word. And yet we fall short of the glory of God. God knew we couldn't in and of ourselves become perfect enough to save ourselves. That's why way in the book of Genesis, nearly in the third chapter, man had done fell and God had done sent the promise, the same promise Malachi is talking about in the last book of the Old Testament. You can be sure, you can trust God. If there's anyone who would like to make a comment, please press the one button. Anybody need prayer? Anybody want to talk about whatever? You could press the one button if anybody have any questions or concerns. Caller, your number is 504-205-79. Caller, your mic is open and you can speak.
Hi. Hello, everyone. I'm calling for prayer on tonight for my ex-husband's wife. She had, they discovered a brain tumor that's cancerous, and she had surgery on yesterday, and she's in ICU. And him and I, we don't have the best of friendship or relationship, but I did let him know that I'm praying for him and his wife because I know this is a difficult time and this is not time to be petty and other things. So I'm asking, I ask his permission if I can speak to you all about her and lift her up in prayer. Her name is Sharon Martin. Please keep her in your prayers.
Thank you so much, caller. And we will definitely do that. And, you know, it's one rule that I hope all of us follow on Wednesday night Bible study, that we truly pray for one another. And we have her name, Sharon Martin, and we know the condition, and we ask in each and every one of you to pray, and we'll keep that in mind. Thank you so much, sister, for calling in. I have another caller, you're 504-430-83. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Minister Dye. I just want to say thank you and just let you know how much I've enjoyed our journey through the Old Testament, all from the beginning to the end with Malachi. It has been such a blessing to me, and I'm sure to so many of us. You stirred us up to keep us going back studying and reading and asking God what he wanted to tell us. I just enjoyed this journey so much, and I'm looking forward when we go over into the New Testament. Just thank you. God bless you. Continue doing what God wants you to do, and thank you so much.
I thank you so much, Carla. I thank you for just letting me hear your voice. You know, I have a lot of numbers on and be in the studio. Some numbers I know and some I don't. But, you know, it you know, sometimes it's, you know, I enjoy hearing your voice. So for that I say thank you. And if God's will, continue to keep calling through. I love you so much, Sister Joyce, and I always will. And thank you for the encouragement. And you be blessed. If there anyone else would like to say anything before we get off. So before we get off, I just want to let y'all know, next week I'm going to talk about the period between the Old Testament and New Testament. And y'all been with me for a lot of years, and I never gave y'all homework. So this is like a homework assignment, because I don't have a specific scripture to give you. Remember, the Old Testament is closed. You could go on the internet. You could call me up for some information. If you got a decent, all Bibles are good. But some Bibles, when the Old Testament stops, they got the period between the Testaments. That's the period we're going to be on. So I pray that you do some homework of what was going on in the period between the Old and the New. And we're going to set that up, and we're going to welcome in the New, and then we're going to go through the New. You know, and we should be able to finish the New Testament in 6 months. It took us 9 months to do the Old Testament. We should finish the New Testament in 6 months, in 3 weeks. So if it's okay with you guys, and if y'all have any suggestions of us doing it another way, a different topic, I welcome them all, because this is our Bible study. I just was letting you know the way that I, intend to go. And, you know, it could always be changed. It could always be, you know, switched around a little bit. So, but I don't know exactly what you want and where you want to go if you don't tell me. So I open it up, and that's what we're going to do next week. And if no one else has anything else to say, we're going to go ahead and close out, because we went a little bit over time. But we had a lot of things, because we had to take our time slowly to close this Old Testament. So with that being said, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the 1 button at this time to close us out. If not, dear Heavenly Father, precious God, God, I just got to say thank you. Thank you for the journey that you have allowed us to take through your word. Thank you for your books and your characters that you set up for us to look at with a microscope, dear God, to see what you have done in their lives and realize we can have it in our lives, dear God, and we can see their faults, dear God, and hopefully we don't make the same mistake, dear God, and we can see the coming of your son, dear God, and we thanking you right now because we have already seen his coming through your words in the New Testament, dear God. They didn't have that privilege, dear God, but I want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for everything. I'm asking that you look down upon our sister, Sister Martin, in the hospital, dear God, as she going through what she go through, dear God. I thank you for the sister to put away all petty sides. Everybody can use prayer. We can't afford to decide who we want to pray for and who we don't want to. If you only pray for people that you love, you ain't showing God nothing. Teach us how to pray, dear God, truly in our heart and our mind for one another, dear God. Direct us as you what you want us to do with this word we're taking in. Don't let us just be hearers of the word, but become doers of the word. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, right now that you don't let your word return void. Hallelujah. I thank you, dear God, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, because your name is worthy to be praised. I thank you for the coming of the Messiah, dear God, because I needed a Savior. Hallelujah. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your way. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I realize each day, I realize even more and more that only what we do for Christ is going to last. Lord, I realize each day it get brighter and brighter, and I know that your grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. And I know your mercy is everlasting. Thank you for the journey you're bringing us through, and thank you for allowing us to be together in this journey. This is no accident, dear God, and thank you for using little old me. Not because I've been so good, dear God, but you so fit because you do what you want, when you want, how you want, for who you want. Bless everyone, dear God, that's coming into the rim and studying our word together. Touch their lives, dear God. Touch their homes. Touch their families. Touch their resources, dear God. Touch their health. Hallelujah. Open them windows of heaven, dear God, that you said in the book of Malachi that you would do for your people, that they won't have room enough to receive it. Rebuke the devourer for their sake, dear God. Because you said it, and I believe it. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. That's our lesson for tonight. And I ask that each and every one of you grow in grace and in more knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because that is where your success is. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. And take care of God's business so he can take care of yours. Good night. God loves you, and so do I. And if it's the will of God, we'll meet back next week. Find as much information as you can about the period between the testaments. And God's going to have his way. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.